Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, make your presence known to us today. Open our hearts and our ears so that we can hear your word that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. But before we start on the scripture, we need to get a little bit of background information. It'll help us out a lot. So, just a refresher, the people of Israel had been freed from their captivity and slavery in Egypt and had gone out into the desert. And God provided for them there. God provided manna and also quail and water. God was with the people. Then the people arrived at the wilderness in Sinai and camped out at the base of the mountain Sinai. And Moses went up the mountain to be with God. And see, God was setting up a covenant with the people of Israel. And God had a message for the people of Israel. God told Moses to tell the people this: if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. God was with them, and God also wanted the people to be with God. Moses took these words to the people, and the people said, everything that the Lord has said, we will do. So Moses went back and told God. They said they would do it. And God said, well, go and prepare the people, because I want to appear to them when I'm talking with you. And he told Moses, I will come to you in a dense cloud. So God was with the people, and he wanted the people to know it. And the Bible tells us that on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast of trumpets so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses would speak to God, and then God would answer in thunder. God was with them, and the people knew it. God then spoke to the people and delivered what we now call the Ten Commandments. And the first two are key to our scripture today. The first one is this: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And the second: you shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is under the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. God was with them, and God was giving them the covenants and the codes that they could live by. Moses shared all of it with the people, and once again they said, all the words the Lord has spoken, we will do. Moses wrote down all the Lord's words, and then Moses prepared an offering for the Lord. And he took the book of the covenant, and he read it in the hearing of all the people. And then once again, the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. God was with the people, and the people agreed, and they said they would follow God's covenant. Then God called Moses up the mountain. And God wanted to give Moses the tablets of stone that held the law and the commandments. And chapter 24, verse 18 tells us that Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and for 40 nights. But God was still with them on the mountain. What we find in the next chapters, chapter 25 through 31, It's all about worship. God is giving the Israelite people instructions on how they should worship God. God was telling them, here's what the dwelling, the sanctuary, should look like, and the altar and the courtyard, the priest's clothing and the ordination for the priest, offerings and keeping the Sabbath. It was all there. God was with them and wanted them to make a sanctuary so that God could dwell among them. Then in chapter 31, verse 18, we find that God finished speaking to Moses and gave him the two tablets of the covenant, tablets of stone that were written by the finger of God. And that's where our scripture picks up today. So let's now hear the word of God. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who shall go before us. As for this Moses, this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation. He said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival of the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way I have commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed it and said, 'These are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath can burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored to the Lord God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The people had really short memories. It hadn't been that long that God appeared to Moses. And when God did that, there was a dense cloud, thunder, lightning, trumpets blasting, and then people trembling. Well, it seems that they'd forgotten this. And they couldn't figure out what was taking Moses so long. It was longer than they thought it should be. So what did they do? Well, first, they gave all the credit for getting them out of slavery in Egypt to Moses instead of God. They said they don't know what happened to this man, Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt. And then they went to Aaron. And we remember Aaron. Aaron is Moses' brother. He was appointed by God to be the spokesperson for Moses. Because when Moses was called, he said, I can't do this. I have a slow tongue, a thick tongue and a slow mouth. I can't speak. And so Aaron was appointed to speak for Moses. Aaron was his brother, the priest. Well, the people went to Aaron and they demanded that gods be made for them to go before them, to be their leader. The people had no faith. They had witnessed God's powerful presence, the God that had freed them from slavery, the one true God. But as soon as they didn't have immediate and constant reassurance of God's presence, they turned away from God. They manufactured their own God. A God with no power. This God couldn't do anything except sit there. They could see it, but it couldn't do anything else. And it's ironic because the God that was with them, this God had freed them. This God had and was providing for them. This God had made God's self known to them. This God was giving them instructions on how to build a sanctuary so that this God could come and dwell among them. God wanted to be with them. And God had made this promise: if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. And the people knew this. They had heard this before more than once, and they readily agreed. Three times they said, everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And the third time they even added something. They said, and we will be obedient. But it didn't last long. Aaron, the priest, made a golden calf for the people. It seems like Aaron had this kind of, well, we can have our cake and eat it too mentality. He had made the idol for them. He built an altar for them so they could worship this idol. And then he said, but tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord. But the Lord didn't think the same way that Aaron was thinking. The Lord didn't have a both and mentality. God had and still has an either or mentality. We are either gods or we're not. We could not worship other gods and the one true God as well. You see, God is with us, but God wants us to be with God fully. And this is the point where a lot of people check out of this story because they think, well, I don't worship idols. And what they're thinking about is this golden calf. They're thinking about some kind of small statue that we make. And they think, well, you know, I don't have one of those in my house. I don't have a special place for something like that to sit in my house. I don't have an altar where I kneel down and pray to something like that, or sacrifice to that, or burn incense to that. I don't have any idols. I don't do this. But let's think about that. If we are giving our devotion to something other than God, the one true God, if we're putting something else in the place of God or in addition to God, then we do indeed have idols. But we don't need these idols because we have everything we need in God. God is with us, and God wants us to be with God. God wants us to be in God's presence, worshiping God. God wants us to talk to God through prayer. God wants us to learn about God by reading the scriptures. God wants us to spend time listening to God through meditation. And God wants to commune with us through the Lord's Supper. So what's keeping us from doing all of these things? Well, right now we might say it's COVID. COVID is keeping us from doing all of the things that we would normally do in our worship with God, in our relationship with God. But is COVID really preventing us from doing any of the things I just mentioned? It's not preventing us from worshiping God. We don't have to be together to do that. It's not preventing us from praying to God or reading scripture about God or meditating and listening to God. It's not even keeping us from participating in communion. And I know it's not the same to do all of these things completely by ourselves. We're used to being here in this sanctuary together, doing all those things together as a church body. And there's nothing wrong with that. I miss doing that. But we can still participate in all these other things because we need to remember that when we worship and pray and read the scripture and meditate and have the Lord's Supper, those things are not about us. Those things are about God. And God is with us whether we're in this room in the sanctuary or out somewhere else. God is with us. God is always with us. And God is waiting for us. We're the ones who are not showing up. Now, remember how angry God became at the people of Israel when they started worshiping other gods? Well, God gets just as angry at us when we put other things before God. But we are in luck here. There's something for us to be grateful for. Our God is a God of mercy. And God listened to Moses when Moses went and pleaded for God to spare the people of Israel. God listened and turned away from God's wrath. And so by those verses and also the verses 6 through 7 in chapter 34, we discover something about God's character. You see, God is merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And even though we fail to be who God wants us to be, God is still there, here for us. But we need to be careful because God does not want a both and type of relationship with us. We don't have that option. It's an either or. We're either committed to and worshiping God, our one true God, or we are committed to something else. And like it or not, when we're committed to that something else has become our idol, and that's what we're worshiping. But even with all this, God is with us, and God's love is steadfast, and God is a forgiving God, so there's hope for us. We're not doomed. So this week, I want us to think about this. Are we trying to have a both-and relationship with God? Do we have golden calves in our lives? Things that are taking the position of God? Let's spend some time this week thinking about that. And let's ask God to show us the places where we have pushed God aside and put something else in God's place. Let's ask God to show us what those things are, and then to give us the courage and the strength to remove those things and to put God back in that center place where God belongs. God, the one true God. Let's pray. Dear God, forgive us for the ways we have let other things access the primary spot in our lives, the spot that only you should have. Forgive us for the ways we have created idols out of all the different things around us. Help us to identify what those things are, and then help us to remove them and put you back where you belong. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.